everyone, this is Brad Bristow, and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go. He struggled to carry a tree up the mountain. We're actually going to be in three different places in Scripture today, but each one of these places is going to tell the story, the same story. In the New Testament, you have four books that tell you the story of Jesus's life. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first three of those, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the Synoptic Gospels, and what that means is that they essentially tell the same story of Jesus' life. Now, each one of those has a little bit of a different focus and little tweaks and little bits of different information, but for the most part, they tell a consistent same story of Jesus. But then there's John, and John exists as a bit of an outlier. A huge amount of the book of John is passages and stories that don't appear in the other Gospels. Now, it's not that they're contradictory or anything like that, where you would read this and go, well, this is true, then that can't possibly be true. It's not that it's contradictory. It's just that in the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on many of the same stories. Well, and so many times, John just has different stories to tell. And this week, we're going to be taking a look at a story that takes place in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. This week, we're beginning a new sermon series as we move towards Easter, a day that Christians believe, that we believe to be the single most important day in all of human history, of the history of the entire world, the day that everything changed. Jesus had died for our sins. That's Good Friday. But on Easter, that's when Jesus showed the world, showed his creation, the full extent of who and what he was. When he rose again, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating hell, defeating the grave, and stood victorious over all of it, the triumphant Son of God proclaiming victory and proclaiming life over evil. And I believe that the significance of this moment need not be contained to Easter Sunday, but we need to be setting aside a large chunk of time to focus and to meditate, to really stop and pause, to look at the events surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. Every year we set aside time at Christmas to look at the story of Jesus coming and his birth, and we need to do the same thing at Easter. And so for the next 4 weeks, the next three weeks, we're going to be looking at Jesus's death. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to begin to take a look at Jesus's resurrection and see that as we can learn all of these things that come from Jesus's death, that it's the resurrection that really shapes and forms who we are. Because we serve a risen Lord. If ever there was a time for an amen, we serve a risen Lord, and that means something for us. And so we're going to look at the death of Jesus. We're going to look at the moments right before his death and the interactions that he has and the things that take place in his story of his death and his resurrection and discover what it means for our story of our lives. And moments are amazing because they're often so short. There just can be these little snippets of time that define our lives. That you know, when you look back on your life, what you remember are these moments. You remember moments, the moments you proposed to your spouse or the moment you were proposed to. It was in IKEA for Yvonne and I. It was a great story. I'll tell you sometime. But the moment that changed your life when your baby was brought into your life, these moments that you remember, just these crystallized moments, even processes that are long and difficult can be defined by a moment. You spend years and years going to school for the moment of graduation. You spend years and years working for the moment you can finally say, we're retired. But moments are not always great things either. Our lives are defined by moments, but they're not always defined by good moments. Sometimes they're defined by bad moments, moments that we will never forget, but not because we're so glad they happened, not because we're so glad we get to share in this, but moments that we will never forget for a whole different reason. But the point is that when we look at all of the moments in their lives, they really make up the story of our life. Even though they may just be these moments, these times and these places, our lives can be defined by moments. And this week, we're going to look at a story of a moment in a life, a story of a moment that takes place in the life of a man. And this moment is going to define his life. It's going to define his story. It's going to define who he is moving forward and the story of his family. It's going to be this amazing moment that takes place. Jesus' life is coming to an end. He has been beaten. He has gotten the crown of thorns put on his head. He's been sold out and deserted by his closest friends. And as Jesus was on his way to be crucified, on his way to his death, he got to the bottom of a hill. And physically, all that he had been through, all of the suffering, all of the torture, everything that he had had to walk through over the last while, it physically became too much for him at the bottom of this hill, and he collapses. You see, Jesus had been forced to carry his cross to the place where ultimately he would be nailed to it. This was part of what it meant to be crucified. Was it wasn't just that armed guards would take you to the place where you'd be executed. But you were forced to go from the place where you were being held to the place where you were going to be executed, made an example of as you were paraded through the city with a cross on your back. Not the full T thing that we picture in our minds, but just the cross piece behind his arms and his back. That he would be forced to carry this through the streets so that Rome could make an example of the people being crucified. But there's this moment where the frailty of the human body is seen, and Jesus simply cannot go any further, and he collapses under the weight of his cross, under the weight of everything he's going through. And then as Jesus collapses, there's this moment where the Roman guards grab this random person out of the crowd, a moment that would enter this man into the Bible, a moment that would make this man's name known in history, into the most important story in all of history, a moment that would define this man's life, that from this moment his life would be different, a moment that would define his family's life, that from this moment his story and the story of his family, the story of his community, everything is changed. And this story ends up in each of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 32, it says this. As they being the Roman soldiers, Jesus, this whole parade of people that are taking part in this crucifixion, as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they forced him to carry the cross. They met a man. That sounds quaint. That sounds pleasant. Hi, my name is Brad. Hey, I'm Simon. Nice to meet you. That's not really what happened here. This man is grabbed by Roman soldiers out of the crowd, and he is forced into the story. This isn't a moment that this guy was looking for. He isn't a volunteer. It's not his idea. It's not his suggestion. He doesn't volunteer. They don't say, we're looking for somebody to carry the cross. He doesn't raise his hand and say, I would be happy to carry Jesus' cross. He has no say in it, none at all. He is just brought into it. Sometimes in life, moments are just pushed on us. You go to the doctor's office for a standard checkup, and suddenly there's a life-defining moment you didn't know was coming. And sometimes these moments that are forced on us are actually the most powerful and defining moments of our lives, for good or for bad. No volunteers, it's not your idea. And here is a moment that will define everything about your life. This is what happened. They met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. All of a sudden, Simon is a part of this story. Now, we don't know much of the story of Simon. We don't get a picture of this man or his story. But we do know, what we do know is that he was from Cyrene. Cyrene was about 1,200 kilometers from Jerusalem. And if you walked about 8 kilometers a day, which would be about a normal walking distance for a day in the desert and all of that, it was about a 30-day journey from Cyrene to Jerusalem. So why would Simon have undertaken a 30-day journey to Jerusalem and just so happen to be here now? Right here, right now, in this moment. It's the Passover. It's coming close to the day in the Jewish calendar. Millions of Jewish people from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival together. And so here is Simon, traveled 1,200 kilometers, about 30 days, just trying to do his best to be a good Jewish person, coming to Jerusalem like he's supposed to do. There are people everywhere lining the streets to see what's happening. And then there's this moment that's thrust on him. We don't know if he's actively participating in the mocking of Jesus and in what the crowds are doing, or if he's just standing back watching. But suddenly he's pulled from the crowd and ordered by the Roman soldiers to help carry the cross of Jesus. In Mark chapter 15, there's a little more of the picture. It says, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon was a family man. He had brought his boys with him on this 1,200-kilometer, 30-day journey to celebrate the Passover, to do what he was supposed to do. And so not only is he plucked away from the festival, from the celebration, from what he was supposed to be doing, he's plucked away from his boys. And they are all dropped into this moment. This moment that we will be remembered forever in God's holy word, the Bible. God ensured that not only will Simon always be remembered, but so will his boys, Alexander and Rufus. Simon didn't volunteer for this. It was pushed on him. But God is still going to work through this. It may not have been his choice. However, God is watching over him, and God is watching over his family, and God is going to use it. Just because you've had a moment thrust on you, just because you've got bad news from a doctor, just because you got in a car accident, just because your career has suddenly had a forced transition, just because your relationship just ended, just because you've had a moment thrust on you, just because you've had this moment thrust on you doesn't mean that God can't use them. God isn't blindsided the same way that we can be. But God uses your story. And he uses moments that are pushed on us to show us his goodness and his grace on our lives. Simon had nothing to do with this moment until suddenly he was right in the middle of it. But even in this moment, we're going to see God is going to use it. Simon is put into the place where his whole world, his expectation, his plan, everything is changing all around him, and he doesn't even know it. He's put in place, and this is interesting, and I want you to hear this, because I think this is really interesting and profound for what we're going to read, what we're going to talk about later on. But he's being put in a place where he is doing exactly what Jesus said earlier in the book of Mark, when Jesus would say, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Simon is here with a plan and a purpose, and he's here for a reason, and he knows what that reason is, and he's here to do it. He has to, though, deny his plan and his purpose, whether he's choosing to or not. Rome is forcing him to deny it, but he is denying himself, he's denying his plan, he's denying his family, his boys, and he's being forced to take up his cross and follow Jesus. Simon may not know it in this moment, but he is following Jesus. He may be doing it because he's compelled. He may be doing it because he's being forced. But he is following Jesus. And his life is literally changing with every step he takes. Because he's following Jesus. You see, Simon knew of the Messiah. But he didn't know that that is the Messiah. He knew of the Savior. He didn't know that that person that he's following up the hill, that that was the Savior. This moment may be being pushed on Simon. He doesn't know what's going on. He's fearful and unaware, but unknown to him, he's following Jesus. Now, in Luke chapter 23, we get our last picture of this story. Luke 23, verse 26, it says, "As the soldiers led him away," him being Jesus, "they seized Simon," so much for met. "They seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus." Luke tells us Simon had just gotten there. He was just on his way in from the journey. 30 days, 1,200 kilometers, walks into Jerusalem. There's a million people everywhere. There's some big commotion in the streets. And so him and his boys head over to go see what's happening. Now carry a cross. Sometimes in life, it can just feel like you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. How many other people were there? How many other people lined the streets of Jerusalem that day? How many other people were in the crowd? And they just happened to pick this guy who just showed up with his two boys on the end of a 1,200 kilometer, 30-day journey. What are the odds? They could have picked anyone. And they picked him. I know that we've all lived there from time to time in our lives where we would say, "Not me, not right now. You have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea the journey that I've been on. You have no idea all that I'm dealing with. Not me. Not right now. I am exhausted. I've just walked 1,200 kilometers for a month straight with my boys. I'm exhausted. I just need to eat. Not me. Not now. I can't do this." And now this. He has no control over this situation. He's just forced into it. And yet, here's what happens. As all of this is being forced on him, here he is. He's following Jesus. He doesn't even know probably who Jesus is, but he's taken up his cross and he's following Jesus. And this moment where not now, not me, has this incredible impact on his life and really his world. If we move forward to the book of Acts, there's this amazing moment that happens where we see what the impact of this moment is. And we're going to get into a little bit of church history and research and some things that take place that people have been able to understand and discover about the story of the spread of the gospel that isn't necessarily recorded in Scripture, but we can see and understand what took place. But in the book of Acts, it says this. "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and where? Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene. This young man had journeyed from Cyrene, from his home with his boys, to Jerusalem. And there's this moment that is utterly forced on him. And he begins to follow Jesus, literally. And we can learn through church history that the men in Cyrene were Simon, Alexander, and Rufus. It's Simon and his boys that have made this difference. They didn't just follow Jesus up a hill. It started there. They followed Jesus up the hill, but then it just kept going. And there's this moment years and years after Simon followed Jesus up that hill that revival breaks out in Cyrene. Because of this moment that's pushed on him, this moment of not me, not now, this moment of what on earth, why, this other amazing moment happens. Romans 16 tells us this. Simon's boys were Rufus and Alexander. In Romans 16, it says this, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me." Now, most scholars believe that the inclusion of the boys' names in the gospel account, that when Mark included the names of Rufus and Alexander, it wasn't just for Trivial Pursuit. It wasn't just for this, oh, and by the way, here's a little fact you may not know. But it points towards them being included for a reason, for them being included as a part of the story of the early church. And here we have the Apostle Paul speaking presumably of the son of this man and his wife and the impact they had in the church in Rome and to Paul himself. As Simon stood there in the crowd, he knew that the Jewish teachings talked of a Messiah, but he didn't know he was following the Messiah. He knew the Jewish teaching spoke of a Savior. He didn't know he was walking with the Savior. But after this, his life, his family's life, and his community's life, they would never be the same. Because there's this incredible moment, and Jesus uses this moment to change everything. The moments of our lives have the power to change our lives. Every moment we face, God has the power to use this moment to change everything. Even the hard moments. Even the moments of why me? Why does it have to be me? Why now? Why this? We can use these moments to cause us to look to Jesus. When we don't take our eyes off Jesus, but we begin this journey up this hill, carrying a cross that seemingly isn't mine after a long, difficult journey. It's not fair and it's not right. We discover the same thing that Simon did. Even if he didn't know it at the time, in this moment of struggling, in this moment of suffering, in this moment potentially of anger or bitterness, this moment of confusion and fear, this moment of worry, where was Jesus? Jesus was right there with him, right beside him. And when Simon realized that even though he was suffering, even though this wasn't fair, he didn't choose it, he didn't want it, that even in this moment, Jesus was right there beside him, it changed everything. Isaiah will prophesy this about Jesus. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Each one of us will face these kind of moments. But we will never go through them without a God who knows what we're going through. He has walked right beside us through everything we've faced. And when the story of our lives are told, there will be these moments where we were unaware, where we didn't understand, where it wasn't fair and it wasn't right, and we didn't know where God was in all of this. When we discovered that, and then we discovered that God was right there beside us all along. And that moment can go from the worst moment of our lives to a moment of power, to a moment of incredible impact, to something that goes on to shape our entire world in the goodness and the grace and the love of Jesus Christ.
Oh, shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go. Thank you.
there ain't no grave could hold my body down. Oh, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, hey, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, hey, hey, oh, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, oh, sing about it, yeah, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, I'm following Jesus, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, hey, oh, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, hey, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, hey, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, if you walked out of the grave on a walking dew, hey, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no gonna hold.